You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
This is your first time here. Welcome to City Place Church. As my wife said, we are the lead pastors, and we believe that God has called our church to be a life-giving church. Amen. That builds dreams. Watch now, not so that you can buy a house, but that so that you can hear the prophetic voice of God for what God wants to do in your life. Ignite your faith. Establish you as the leader that God's called you to be so that we can win the lost for the kingdom of God. So everything that we will do here at City Place Church will be focused on heaven being filled. It's just that we get to equip you on the weekend throughout the week. We're in a series called Old School, Keeping It Old School. And over the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been just kind of laying the foundation and building upon getting to the place where we never forget the old school truths that what we believe was grounded in. And last week, we finished up the section on sons and daughters of God the Father. And really, it was focused around salvation, but we couldn't just talk about salvation without talking about sons and daughters of God the Father, because salvation is rooted in a family relationship. So I didn't just want to just preach to you about salvation, because we could miss the whole premise of what God was trying to do when he sent his son Jesus when Adam and Eve sinned. Are you with me? You have to go back to week number one, and you can check it out on the City Place Church podcast, on iTunes and all those other platforms. But everything has been leading up, so everything has been building upon all of the things that we learned in week number one, so that we don't just want to preach a concept. I want to preach foundations, so that those foundations are things that we will live by, and it'll always lead back to Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. So my focus today is I want to preach on liquid faith. Liquid faith. Now, what I mean by liquid faith is baptism. I don't just want to preach on baptism. I want to preach on liquid faith. And in order to be able to preach on baptism, I've got to tie in salvation, sons and daughters, to lead us to liquid faith. So what I'm going to do is, if you go back, you'll be able to catch up. But sons and daughters, God's family relationship is what our salvation is rooted in. So now, since we've set that foundation, I'm going to talk a little bit more about salvation, which will lead us to liquid faith, because next week we're going to be doing baptisms. Are you here? So if you haven't been baptized, hopefully by today, you'll feel like it's the next step that you want to partake in, because it is your next step after you meet Jesus. The other thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be dedicating children to the Lord. We're going to be dedicating children. The Bible says in 1 Samuel that Hannah prayed, and she said, if you give me a child, I'm going to give the child right back to you. She said, son, she said, I'll give him right back to you. And the Bible says that when she had weaned him, she brought him into God's house and said, the promise that you fulfilled, I'm giving right back to you. And it says that he grew in stature with God and man and remained in God's house. And then he went out and spoke the word of the Lord. And so we dedicate kids here until they can verbally explain how Jesus has impacted their life. And then we baptize them. So next week, my son Noah is being baptized. Yeah. Mm. So I get to celebrate that moment as his dad is the most important thing, but as the pastor of City Place Church, it's a great honor to do that. And so if you haven't been baptized, I would love to be able to celebrate that moment with you, because it's the next step. But I feel a little preachy this morning. So baby, you keep talking back. Name's Kennedy. If you'll talk back, that's fine. If not, that's good. Either way, Jesus is going to be preached. Set a little fire underneath us. And let's see what we can get to this morning. Is that all right? Amen. I love church. I love Jesus. And my wife and I, we just went back to our home church. Our home church is called Wave Church. And they just had a conference. And what was really cool was before we left, they called us and said, hey, Damon, we want to highlight City Place Church. And that's really crazy, because the church where we came from is large, but where they were going to showcase us was where all of the pastors were literally from across the world. And I told him, I was like, well, you know, we're still growing. And he goes, be quiet. That's what he said. He said, be quiet. He goes, the process is what's important. If you value the process, then when you hit the outcome, then you'll appreciate the process. That's preaching right there. That's not even in the message. So I just want you to know, City Place, that you're doing well. You are winning. You are winning. And so here we are in this room with pastors literally from New Zealand and Australia and India and Texas. That's not a country, by the way, y'all. From all parts of the world. And they go, Damon and Ty, stand up. This is what you guys were able to see God do on Easter. 371 people have met Jesus in 3 years here at City Place Church. Come on, y'all. Y'all can do better than that. That's destiny's changed. Legacy's changed. And so Pastor Steve looked at us and he goes, I believe in you. And so I just want you to know that our pastors wanted to give you a message. They believe in us. We are just getting started. And you are valuable to what God wants to do in City Place Church. There's a place for you here. And we can't wait to pastor along with you to impact this city. Amen? Acts chapter 16, verse 25. This is a really, if you are a pastor, if you are a preacher, you love this text. But I'm not going to preach it the way you might think it. I'm going to read it that way because there's some points in here. But I want to just show you a different angle this morning. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says this. And at midnight, this is where it gets really exciting if you're a pastor because you can put a little phlegm in your throat and you can kind of get a little rhythmic here. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now watch, they were praying and singing hymns to God. He was their focus. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Pause. Your prayer and your praise can be overheard. Told you I was going to be a little preachy. I apologize. That was just the first verse. 26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Two people praying, two people singing, everyone is listening, everyone gets impacted. Don't devalue the impact of your praise in your car, in your cubicle, in your row. Just keep going. Then the jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, do not harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for lights, not light switches, by the way. If you read it, this is them bringing in like little candle things. And, you know, this is not like flip the lights on. No, this is like get the lights. And they're bringing in stuff so that you can have the imagery. They rushed and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, sirs, watch this now. What must I do to be saved? Crazy question to ask when you're really just going in to make sure they didn't leave. Okay, so let's go back again. Your prayer and your worship can leak out onto those around you, can impact those near you. But notice who's watching and listening and responds with how can I get what you got? The people beside me can receive something in my prayer and my worship. The one who's not even attached to me goes, what must I do to get what you got? I'm sorry. I feel like getting pushed this morning. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. Watch now. I just put this in parentheses. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's week number one, by the way, of old school. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they spoke the word of God to him. Watch now. They spoke the word of God to him and to all the others in his house. Pause. I am praying, I am worshiping, I'm in a prison. It leaks out. Everyone around me is hearing. God does something in their life, change it. Someone outside comes in and says, what must I do to get what you got. They start preaching to him, and he goes, pause. My whole family needs to hear what you just said. What started in bondage leaks out to a place where now my family needs to be impacted. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? It can leak out to the people beside you, but then there's somebody else that says, can you bring what you got to my house? So look, the jailer says, it impacted me in my workplace, but my house needs this too. Come on, y'all. I'm preaching this morning. I feel my help this morning. I told you I feel a little preachy. There could be a little phlegm in my throat this morning. By the way, yes. Watch. Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and his house. And that hour of the night, the jailer took him, washed their wounds. Y'all, this is so cool. The jailer who had put them in prison washed their wounds. And all of his household immediately were baptized. Then the jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Here's what I realized when I was reading this scripture, and I'm just going to go for it. Salvation shifts a generation. Salvation will shift a generation. See, you and I can't be selfish about this Jesus that we've encountered. Because if we get selfish about the Jesus we encounter, your family will not be impacted. Your family will not be impacted if you're selfish with this Jesus that you've heard and you've seen break bondages in other people's lives. The minute we get selfish is the minute it stops in your family. The jailer was smart enough to know, I want what you've got, and if I get what you've got, let me bring this Jesus to my house as well. I'm coming out hot this morning. Salvation, having God the Father, receiving the fact, this is last week, that you are a son and daughter, will shift your family, even if right now they don't believe. The jailer says, it starts with me, this needs to come to my house. Can I tell you that the salvation that you have right now and the salvation that some of you will receive before the end of this service has got to get into your family? Because when you go, what is going to happen if you don't let Jesus leak out of you? If you die and your family goes to hell, what good will is it for you to just go to heaven and everybody else go to hell? The reason why you have to be saved is because your family has to be saved too. Don't worry, I'm not yelling. If this is your first time, I'm like this all the time. Football, basketball, something to eat, church, the same way. Passionate. You cut me off. Hey, what you doing? Amen. You got to throw an amen after you do something outside of the lines. Here, I see this right here. This is what I see. When I look at Paul and Silas, to give you context, they had been preaching the word of God. And how frustration religious people decided they want to throw them in a prison. Religious people want to put them in a prison. Religious people want to put them in a prison. Religious people want to put them in a prison. Can I tell you, I said this last week, the relationship that you have with Jesus is not about your works. When you get focused on the works, it becomes religion. Then when it becomes religion, you forget about the relationship. And all of a sudden, you start putting people in boxes that Jesus never put them in. Side note, listen to last week. So the religious people put them in prison because they're doing miracles. People are being saved. People are being baptized. People are being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and everyone's getting frustrated. And they say, put these men in prison. So they find themselves in prison. And the thing that they go to, they don't complain. They don't say, we're going to try to break out. They say, if we're in this prison, we're here for a reason. Let's give God praise and give God worship. How many times is it that you and I are trapped in a prison and instead of giving God worship, we give him our complaint? Can I tell you, I said this last week, the thing that's on the inside of you comes out of you. If you are a complainer by nature, the word of God is not going to be the first thing to come out of you. The complaining of where you might be will come out of you, which then creates a distance between you and God because you're looking at him like, you put me here. Why am I here? Versus just going, let me be quiet. Let me shut up and let me give him worship now. Come on. Because when it's good, I'll praise him. But what's my response when it's bad? If he is my dad, and I'm not viewing him as just God, which he is, but if he's dead, then I have to know that my dad is going to come after me. He's going to take care of me. He's not going to let me just sit in a place that's never been designed for me, but it could be a road that I have to pass through. Boy, I feel like preaching.
That's old school, by the way. That just means I'm passionate. My pastor would say that when I was younger. I feel like preaching. I'm like, sir, you're already up there. I mean, like what? I'm lost. We don't know what we're doing this morning, sir. Here's what I realized. Watch. Authentic worship, this is in your notes. Authentic worship and connection to the Father leaks out. Authentic worship and connection to the Father leaks out. See, it's the purity of what he put on the inside of me. It's the recognition that he's been faithful and good. That when I just give him what I've got, whether I think it's good or not, but I say, God, this is what I got. I'm going to give it to you right now. Once I give him that, it leaks out. Because people will be able to see the difference. And they'll wonder, what is it that you've got that I need? When it's authentic, it has to come out because I'm going to give it to him no matter what. Are you here? I know you're here. It's just, I'm looking right at you. Here's what I find amazing, though. And this is where the curveball comes in. Because I love preaching this text. Because when they praised and when they prayed, everyone's chains were loosed and they were set free. But you know what the story doesn't say? That every prisoner were exonerated. It doesn't say that every prisoner left the prison that day. That led me to think that you can be free from your bondage and still not be saved. Because I preach it where everybody got free and your praise, this is where the phlegm in my throat, Benny, comes out, and the praise will set it free and your neighbor beside you. We can do all of that. But do you know that those jokers, it doesn't say that they were released. But the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? I was reading this and I'm like, oh, it is possible to be in service and receive healing and not go all the way. I wonder, I don't know. I don't know the story. So I'm just telling you my view. The people in the prison may have responded that day. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm just looking at the text as I see it, and I had to ask myself, it is possible to be free from something, to God do something in my life and never ask him to be a part of the family. I can get mine and never go, what is the fullness of what these men are carrying? I can be in an environment and we can get encouraged and we can pray for people. It's 21 days of prayer. And I told our team, I feel like God wants to do miracles over these 21 days of prayer. But what good is it to have a miracle and not have a relationship? What good is it to get mine and not have him? Oh, y'all, come on, somebody. Listen, what must I do to be saved? It is possible for you to be free and not be saved. We see it in the story of the 10 lepers. Jesus does a miracle. The Bible says that they went back healed. One came back. Jesus says, you're whole. Why? Because I have to go back to the person. I have to know, who was this guy that changed my life? What's different about you? And how can I hang out with you more often? What must I do to be saved? City Place, I don't want us to be just free people. I want us to be people who are in love with the Father. Because the Bible already says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. How come you and I don't walk in it sometimes? Remember, this is salvation, liquid faith. We'll get there, I promise. So I had to ask myself, what must I do to be saved? The jailer asked the question, so why don't we answer it this morning? Are you here? You ready? Write this down. Three things: accept, believe, and confess. Accept, believe, and confess. Accept, believe, and confess. The Bible says that they preached the word of the Lord to them. And the Bible says that the man's response was, okay, I'm all in. Come to my house. Accepted, believed it, and confessed it so much that we was like, this is not just for me. This is for my family. We have to accept, believe, and confess. Here it is. God's word to you. That's number one. So you have to accept, believe, and confess God's word to you. That's number one. So you have to receive God's word. It's for me. It wasn't just for this moment, Paul and Silas. No. What do I need to do to have what you have, my friend? Oh, yes, sir. Oh, so you're speaking the word of the Lord to me? Oh, I receive that. Yep. I accept. I believe. Oh, yes. I confess that I need him. And so can you do me one favor? Can you also tell what you just said to me? Can you tell this to my family? See, you and I have to receive the word of the Lord. Going back, I'm going to keep referencing last week because in order to give the full understanding of the salvation that I'm talking about, you have to understand that you are a son and a daughter of God the Father. So I keep going back to that. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm promoting it. I'm not. I just want you to know that you are a son and daughter. And so when God is speaking life over you this morning, as I'm speaking life over you, I'm telling you that you are a part of the family of God. You are a son and a daughter. Whether you choose to jump in the family or not, that's going to be on you. But you are a son or daughter, and that's how he sees you. And so you have to receive that this morning, that this is for me. He is my dad who gave the ultimate sacrifice for me. Second thing that we all have to accept, believe, and confess. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky sometimes, is that we are all sinners. I notice because of my strong physique, and you're looking at me now, you probably think, oh, element of perfection. I know. When I go on the beach, I wear some mediums as well. I do. I just kind of pose, just show off for Taisha. But I'm not perfect. Sorry, y'all, that's just extreme pride. Not even a point. No. Everyone in this room is a sinner. I know that we might be looking for the perfect church, but the minute you walked in, it is not perfect anymore. So, Pastor Damon, myself, I'm not perfect. I'm not. I have to go before the Lord and have to say, God, deal with me on this. God, work on this in me. God, do this in me, just like everybody else. So guess what? We can all grow together. See, we have to realize that we are sinners. Here's what sin means. It means, watch, to miss the spiritual target. To miss the mark. Now, again, to understand God the Father, you have to go back a few weeks ago because we talked about how God had created a set of parameters, not to hold us in a box, but to show that we needed God the Father. That's where the rules and the law came in. And if we make God's relationship to us about rules, then it becomes religion. But we see that God was just trying to show us that we need him. And here's what the Bible says. Recognizing that we are sinners. It says in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned. Everybody say all. And come short of God's glory. Everybody. So you know what? This is what my pastor says. He says, shame off you. Shame off you. That's what he says. Shame off you if you're feeling guilty. Shame off you because we're in a room full of people who are trying to be all that we can be in the family of God. So if you did something last night, you're in the right place because this is where God does miracles. You're in a family. You're in a family. Psalms 51:5 says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That's a crazy verse, isn't it? I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin. My mom was doing the wrong thing when her and Pop had me. Thank the Lord for the word of God, because if somebody else was born like that, Praise God. Thank you for your transparency. Because now I know that if you were rolling like that back in biblical days, I don't feel that bad right now. Because there's a relationship. There's, even back in biblical days, some of the greatest writers, some of the greatest authors of some of the scriptures that we enjoy, they said, look, I was born in sin. It's in me too. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. Number three, salvation is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. Rooted in a family relationship. Salvation is a gift from God rooted in family relationship. It's your gift. It's Jesus Christ coming as a sacrifice for you and I so that we can be joined back again to the family of God. It's your gift. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to try to work towards it. It's from the Lord. And that leads me to this thought right here. Salvation is not based on works, but faith. Salvation is not based on works. You can't do anything. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, so that you can't brag about it. I did this to get to God. I did this, and now I'm saved. Hey, it was all me. Have you ever heard the phrase self-made? Really? Are you really? Or was it the grace of God that allowed you to get out of or to succeed at? It says, hey, you're not doing anything by yourself. It was your faith. You accepted, you believed, and you confess. Here's the key. The jailer is talking to Paul and Silas. He says, what must I do to be saved? He's asking them, there needs to be a life change in me and my home. Do you know what we call that? We call that repentance. Repentance is not just the verbal thing I say, it's the heart of what I say. So when he's saying, what must I do to be saved? Yeah, you got to accept, believe, and confess. What he's really saying is that there's something in my heart that needs to change. And by your authentic worship and connection to God, it leaked out into my house. And I realize that I need to change what I'm doing, and so does my family. Repentance seems like a really big word, but it's real easy. It means to turn back towards the spiritual target. So I'm heading this direction. Ooh, that is not the direction I'm supposed to be going in. I'm going back to the spiritual target that God set for me. That's all it is. It's not a deep spiritual term. Repentance means to turn from where we're going back to what God has called us to do. And the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And they speak the word of the Lord. Really what he was saying was, I've got to focus on that target that you have, Paul and Silas. Y'all getting anything this morning? All right. Watch this. So the Bible says that he speaks life to them. Then it says they go and they get to the house, speaks life to the house, and it says that they immediately go, hey, you've turned the corner. Now it's time for you to be baptized. I love that there is a relationship that happens between my accepting, believing, confessing, to now putting action behind what God did to me and what God did for me. He says, you know what? Let's go liquid with this. Let's get liquid with this faith here. And it says, even if you go up to Acts chapter 16, verse 13, there's a woman by the name of Lydia who the Bible says that she was a worshiper of God. But she didn't really know about the relationship that she could have with God the Father until Paul and Silas interacted with her. And the Bible says that they go to her house. Watch. They go to her house, speak life to her house, and they're baptized as well. Can I tell you that when your worship and your praise leaks out, it's leaking out not just for you, but also for your family. There is a step. You accept Jesus as your Lord. You say, I receive the gift of salvation. And then you know what? My next action is I'm going liquid with my faith. I'm going public. The reason why is because there are things that God is going to do on the inside, but then there's an action step that you're going to need to take to show everybody else, I'm changed. I'm different. and I'm going to live for God, and he's my dad. I'm a part of his family. And going liquid with your faith is saying, I was here, and you used to see me here. But publicly, I'm here now. I'm going to be bold about it. I'm not going to be a closet Christian. I'm going to be one that walks with Jesus. And I'm not going to be ashamed about it. I'm not going to be ashamed. So the Bible says that they baptize her. Baptism is introduced in the New Testament as a sacrament from John the Baptist. In Mark chapter 1, 4 through 5, the Bible says John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance. When John was baptizing, John was saying, this is going to be a flow of you saying, what's in me, I've got to change because I'm going to have a relationship with God the Father. And so he would baptize people, and when they would come out, he would say, your new life begins. Your new life begins. Can I tell you that when you go liquid with your faith, you've accepted Jesus as Lord of your life. But there is a rhythm and a flow to going public. You know, next Sunday we're doing baptisms, and I've seen some of your cards. I've seen some of the information that you guys have turned in. And I want to challenge you, and I want to tell you that it's time to go bold. It's time to let what God has done on the inside leak out of you. It's time for some of us to step to where I've accepted him. Now I just got to be bold about it. And I want the world to know, and I want my community to know, and I want my family to know that it's for Jesus that I'm going to run with, and I won't be ashamed about it. Are you with me? Can I give you one final thought? I like this. The Bible says that Jesus himself was baptized. And it says, and I'll add a little extra flavor to next week, so you can keep those notes. We'll finish next week. But it says that Jesus was baptized. We talked about this last week in Matthew chapter 3. And it says that when he was baptized, it says that he goes down, the heavens open, and then there is this confirmation that you are my son, whom I love, and I'm pleased with you. Can I tell you that when you're baptized, you are actually walking in the same path that Jesus did? Because Jesus went liquid as well. Jesus went liquid, watch, to affirm what John had been preaching, to affirm his own ministry, and to just submit to the fact that he was now living for his dad. And he wanted the world to know that I am here to serve my dad. I know that there are going to be some moments where it's going to be tough. But he said, I'm also going to affirm that what my dad has asked me to do, I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to die on a cross. They're going to put me in a tomb. But 3 days later, I'm going to come up. When you're baptized, it symbolizes what Jesus did. He was dead. He was buried. And he rose again. The Bible says that he came out giving you victory, giving you power, giving you authority. Listen, salvation is your gift. It's free. You don't have to earn it, but it's available to you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.